Good evening. Sean, Hans, son of a bitch. It's very nothing. Is that, can you take some of the boss food? Hey, how you doing? Chip. Just got something sorted out here and we'll be ready to go. Chip, it's real foxy. I can't hear from here at all. Check. Is it coming out there? One, two. Hi, everybody. So great to be back in Atlanta. Where's my pals? Where's Kevin? Is he here? Make it up. Hey, Kev. How you doing? It's great to see you. Check. That's it. A minute, get older. Some songs for you. I've got a lot of songs for you. And I always celebrate Ronnie Lane.
Yeah.
Fantastic. We'd like that. Apparently, not that I celebrate such things, but apparently it was today, 14 years ago, that he died. Well, he's living today. This is the time I have to start. And mine too. Funny enough, Glenn Matlock's favourite bass player. That's why he's in the Faces right now. Okay. Glenn Matlock from the Sex Pistols.
Yes.
Okay. This is a song I wrote for Ron. And, I would play this for him every chance I got. He liked the song, but he never recorded it. But he actually never recorded anything after that, about that period, so it was just wishful thinking on my part. But
he heard it
and he loved it. Actually, when he stayed at my house, our guest bedroom, when we lived in LA, there was a piano right next to his bed, so I'd bring him a cup of tea, and he was in bed. His wheelchair was the other side of the room. He couldn't get out, and I'd play him this song. It sounds very boomy. I can only hear bottom. You can take some of that out. I like a bottom, but not in my voice. Thanks, sir. That's great. Maybe take it down a little. That'd be great. Sorry to be so particular and annoying. This is called Hello, Old Friend. It goes out to all of you as well. Thank you. smile. You're gonna laugh at all this. Songs I'll be getting back to. Well, this of course is my song. I have a few of his songs up my sleeve. This is one of my my most recent beer. Respectable. Very good. Right. This is called Lover Man. See, I'm a lover. I'm no fighter. I've been no good in a fight. Useless in a fight. I don't like the sight of blood. So I write love songs. And and my cheat sheet is in the shadow. Sometimes memory is not very good. Love me.
I love her.
don't love me. But as Ajahn Mann, the great reggae singer, once said, it's not who you love, it's who loves you. You can do what you like, but, you know. Love is still love. It's still the same value. And talking of love...
Just another honky.
I beg your pardon?
Just another honky.
Just another... Oh, no, no. Good call, but not tonight. I haven't heard that for a long time. A few years ago, I used to tour with Billy Bragg, and one of his guitarists is a lovely guy called Ben Manderson, who I didn't know too well, but he is a lovely dear friend, and his wife died of cancer, and I felt so bad for him, and I wanted to comfort him, and I didn't know how to do it, really. It's a difficult situation. All you could say is, I'm real sorry, and that's all that matters, you know, that you say something. When my wife died, Charlie Watts called me up, amongst a lot of people, a lot of lovely, lovely people, some of them in this room, and Charlie said, I don't know why I called you. He said, I don't know what to say. I said, it doesn't matter. He just called me. It meant a lot. And it's true. But I wrote this song for Ben Mandelson, and I could never play it for him because it was too personal. You know, I didn't know whether he'd like it. He might take offense. And when my wife died, I found the song actually helped me. So now I play it every night. I hope you like it. Certainly will. Okay, show's over. Now you better give that someone else. It's about
an hour early.
Yeah, I'd love it, but you know, I'd be waffling about forgetting how to play the piano. This is on my latest CD called Never Say Never, and it's called Where Angels Hide.
Paradise.
Here's another love song. This one I wrote for my wife while she was still around, and she used to like this one. It's a little kind of a comic song, I suppose. And it's called Killing Me With Love. Song to her, and it's trying. It's an advice song, actually. It's like, it's well. I'll just play this song. It's a way of saying, please don't do the things I did. Try and avoid all the pitfalls and the traps that I fell into, and eventually overcome. And you'll have a happier life. Well, now I sing it to my granddaughters, and maybe they'll listen. I never did. I never listened to my parents. Not advice to take. This is the advice to take. I'll sing this one for you today. It's called Little Girl. Little girl. Thomas, come on, John. When I moved to Austin in 94 with my wife, we bought a house out of the country. We were very lucky to find this place, and it's got a bit of land, and it's a nice house, and it had a three-car garage, and I converted it into a studio. Which is where I make my records ever since. But as I was converting it, Kim said to me, "So where are you going to put the windows?" I said, "You can't put windows at the studio, silly." She said, "Matt, we're in the country. There's nobody around." And I thought, well, that makes sense. So we put three windows in. And one day, soon after, I was sitting there and it was raining and I was looking out. And I went outside and it was warm rain. And I'm from England. We don't have warm rain in England.
I love that song.
I think, well, I'm about to play it. How you doing, Rick?
Right.
God bless you. Good to see you.
And
you only get cold rain in England. The only time we get. Most of it's cold. Everything's cold in England.
What about the sunny side of the street?
We don't have a sunny side. That's funny you should mention that. That's a truly American expression. I always wondered about that in that song. What the hell's that? A, there's no sun in England, really. And B, there's no streets aren't built in blocks like they are. Well, actually, Atlanta's nice and free-form, isn't it? It's a bit like England. But, I mean, you know, New York blocks. There's the sunny side, there's the shady side. We don't have that in England. Thanks, John.
Yeah, I should have kept that to myself, I think.
Anyway, soon after that, I wrote the first song I wrote since I moved to Austin, and it's called Warm Rain, of course.
Warm Rain.
Oh, I just want to hear the sound of my voice. It got very deep. Excuse the hell out of me. Hey, by the way, thank you for coming out. Always great to be back in the land.
Thank you.
so thirsty I could drink. Okay. Okay. I think I will go to the world here on this one. Oh, well, damn it. Yes, I will. Yeah, I will.
Do it for crying.
This is Ronnie Lane's song. Ronnie's in the building, that's why. It's called Glad and Sorry. I don't know what it's really about, but it's a lovely song. I think it's off Ooh La La, the Last Faces album he played on.
Share a story about Ronnie.
Share a story, get back on the track. Oh, Ronnie,
Do me a favor, tell these guys, you just told me a story about Ronnie. But you guys were kind of cruel to each other, such brothers, right?
What, you mean on his birthday?
Yeah.
But yeah, Ronnie was born on April the 1st. He's the original April Fool. And we used to do some terrible things to him sometimes. And one time, we were driving back from the coast in England, back to London. It was during the Small Faces days, like 66 or something, 65. And we'd had a long night. We'd actually taken a lot of pills, and we were kind of wired out of our gourd still, like, just about having a come down. It's what they call the hangover from pills. And we need to stop for a pee, and he got out of the car, we just drove off and left it there. I mean, we did go back for him, of course. But it took a week. No. But another time we were in Puerto Rico at a festival, a soul or whatever, a festival in Puerto Rico. And it was beautiful. We took the wives and the girlfriends. I mean, I didn't take my wife and a girlfriend. I only had a wife. What I mean is not all of us were married. And we had we were there for a couple of weeks, or it seemed like it, maybe a week, but every day we'd go down, we'd have massage, you know, sauna, there was an ice pool, and there was the beach, it was fantastic. And on his birthday, we arranged with the masseur, when he was going in for his massage, and there were these curtains, and we arranged for him to start massage, make sure Ronnie was face down, and then he put his head through the curtain, and we all went in, and we one by one we put hand on him and carried on massage until we were all. This was in the Faces, this was Ronnie and Kenny, and he didn't like that. But Ronnie was a good sport. He had to be. Water isn't getting there. I don't know why. And the Guinness one, that'd be even worse. It's called Clan, sorry.
Yes,
that's
my yeah. All right! Woo.
Happy or sad,
said, when all is done and spoken, you're up or I'm same in Nashville, and where are we tonight? I'm only kidding. Same in Memphis, and the same here. And it looks like it'll actually, I think Raleigh will be like a few degrees less. This ain't right, is it? It's not right. The club we played in Memphis last night, the Hyatt Zone, the air conditioning was gone. The heat index was 105 outside the club. I was a sweaty pile. I was horrid. And the sound of the fans, because he had a load of fans in there. I mean, electric fans. Well, not kinds, really. But they're so noisy you can hardly hear yourself think. What's this? Oh, yeah. This is the title song of my last album. It's called Never Say Never. What is to live by? Sounds like you. I can see you standing in the shade. The sun is glistening and it's blinding my view.
Thank you.
off that same album, as is the following song. I mean, the one after this. If that makes sense, just let me. Excuse me, I'm burping. Just had sushi. It's good, isn't it? Bloody hell, it's good. But I kind of am singing sushi. This is called I Will Follow. Peter Thomas on the bass and the horns, right here. It's not really a song. I call that the bump. How you doing? All right? Did that. Oh, friend, too. This is a song called An Innocent Man. It's also on Never Say Never. I have not much to say about this. I think it speaks for itself. We can all be prisoners.
Shut up, it.
Sean, by the way, if it sounds good, it's thanks to Sean. He's done a lovely job here. Oh. Thank you, Sean. Appreciate it.
Sounds great.
Does it?
That's
awesome.
Yeah, it
does
sound great.
Appreciate
that.
It's a good crowd, isn't it? It's a lovely crowd. Take Will home and dunk you with sugar. You okay?
I'm good.
That's called An Innocent Man.
Baby, when it'll be alive.
Tommy. I mentioned Billy Bragg, he's a dear pal of mine, and actually Billy Bragg is the great writer of great love songs. I don't know if you're familiar with his politics, he's very left. I used to call him the commie bastard, but he's a lovely, lovely dear man, and a good true socialist. I'm sorry if that offends you, socialism is, it's about love. Jesus Christ was a socialist, for Christ's sake. Barack Obama, hopefully I think is a socialist. Mitt Romney, not so much. When you're born with $500 million in your pocket, maybe socialism is a little difficult. But anyway, enough about politics. Billy Bragg's a dear friend, and he fly me to London, because I'm living in Austin, and all the rest of the band are English, and live in England and London. And he put me in this hotel in the tourist district, which was upsetting to me. It took me a while to figure it out, but there aren't any English people in the tourist district in London, in Kensington. I mean, really, they're all foreigners. You know, nothing wrong with foreigners, but if you're in London, you want to meet a Londoner. Because maybe it's because you're from Ipswich, aren't you, Ken?
Yeah.
Well, you don't count then. Anyway, have you got a soccer team yet? Sorry, that's unkind.
Football.
Stop talking to me now. Anyway, he put me in this hotel, and I was desperate for a pub, you know. I do love a pint of Guinness. I'm still looking at it. And I like a drink, and I like conversation. I don't like solitary drinking. I like to chat, and there was no one there to chat with me. The staff were all... I found an Irish pub, I forgot to mention. But there was no Irish in there, no English. And the staff were from Australia and New Zealand and Canada, and that's wonderful, but it ain't Irish. And... I'm half hungry. So I was kind of, I was solitary drinking. And this song came out of it, really. It's called Been a Long Time. And it talks about, I talk about, my homesickness for London and Austin. Because London ain't what it used to be. Another pint coming in. Jeez. Start this one soon. Sorry, I'm easily distracted. Been a long time. It's been a long time since I've been home. It's been a long time. I've been gone so long.
I feel like a
a spaceman on solid ground. But I'll have another drink and then I'll blow. But I left my heart here long ago. I try to understand it, but I may never will. Touch my mind, just come and let it. to bring John back up here now for a couple. Don't interrupt the bass player. He's working. He's bloody working. Thanks, John. This one is off Never Say Never Again. I mean, the title is Never Say Never. It's again off of that one. You're following me, aren't you?
Yes.
You must be mad. It'll get you nowhere. Nowhere sensible. This is, actually, this applies to Memorial Day because it's a song about. Well, I'll tell you a little story. About 20 years ago, yeah. Actually, I keep forgetting to mention I have a book that I just had reprinted. Should anyone want to hear more of my stories, you know, that's your choice, of course. And I also have sets of 12 of my paintings, the postcard versions. And I got CDs, I got the Small Faces DVD, which is fabulous. And I went into chat all night, really. Over there. Oh, you've got one. It's actually looking quite nice. That's okay. Where was I? Oh, yeah, thank you. Thanks, Peter. No. No, this was after play. 20 years ago. No, Faces finished like 34 years ago, wasn't it? Anyway, enough of that. I was in the dentist's office with my wife in Los Angeles. Waiting to have my teeth cleaned or whatever. And I'm looking through a magazine, that's the LA Times color magazine. And I opened up, there's a double page photograph of a girl, young lady, sitting on a bed in her house. And on the nightstand was a photograph of obviously her boyfriend or husband. And he was in was in Iraq. It was the first George Bush, got him over there. And I looked at that photograph and it just touched me deep, and I thought, he's in a picture on a table by the bed, across the ocean, but she's got him in her head. And I wrote that down and I never did anything with it. Then George W. Bush sent the troops back over there, and I kept thinking about this idea, and I just nurtured it. And then actually I wrote it in one line, 2 years turned into three, and eventually became 2 years turned into four before I finished the song. But it's called A Little Black Number. It refers to the dress she wears in her bedroom and the song itself. Very thirsty. What it is, all the Guinness I drink every night, it creates a thirst the following day. So it continues. So it is. It'll be the same in Raleigh tomorrow night, etc., etc. It's wonderful to be here. This is called A Little Black Number.
Away. She wears it in the bedroom, never on a day.
are dressed in black. And do a fake encore. We're going to play encore immediately after this last song. We hate that bullshit. This is real. You know.
You will enjoy a predetermined encore and like it.
Yeah. And then that's it. And then I'll drink it. I'll come meet and greet and chat and talk all the night. Absolutely lovely to see you. No, see, it doesn't work like that. The encore is it. They're all unrehearsed, can't you tell? Oh, you're mad.
He's not paying attention.
But yeah, it's a sweet club. It's a sweet club. Let's just get this one out of the way. This is a brand new song. It's cool. All I Want to Do is off the next album, which is halfway there.
Thank you.
lost out dead at night, climbing to your bed. Only got one thing on my mind. They were poor, and when Ronnie was a little kid, his dad would try and buy things at market, try, you know, find things and sell them. He'd find things on the debris. Now, debris was a bomb site after the war in England, in London particularly, and Liverpool, Birmingham, the main cities were bombed to hell, and there were great big bomb sites everywhere, and it took a lot of, well, a long time, many years before they were built on and cleaned up. And so you could find something. You might find a bicycle seat. I'm not saying it.
You always mentioned the bicycle seat.
I'm not saying it. You're
it's a seat thing.
No, you're wrong. I'm not saying it. A bicycle seat. It's almost it's a little image of it, doesn't it? It don't confuse them. But his dad would buy, you know, find something. He might sell it, make a little, you know, a little money. And he'd come down the path to their house. He'd always sing the same song. I don't know what song it was. Ronnie would be sitting at the top of the stairs waiting for him. And what else is there? Wait. Go on, Ed.
There's the picture I'm singing.
No. You're fired. That's it. That's God.
I know that picture.
Almost as bad as a Dick Van Dyke Cockney accent is bloody Herman's Hermit. Anyway. I'm embarrassed, John. In front of his brother, unbelievable. What a way to hand in your cards, you know. It's like when I was touring with Bob Dylan, and we were having a kind of an interesting time. Bob was not very talkative, you know, to us. I had a couple of great nights with him, but generally he was kind of on his own, you know. You were quite happy to leave him alone. He was writing such great stuff all the time, you know. But when we got to Rome, we stayed at the Byron Hotel, and The whole time, all during rehearsals on the whole half of the tour, he wore the same Harley jacket, Levi's, and a white t-shirt. And the first night, he looked at the shirt I was wearing, and he said, "I like your shirt." And I said, "Bob, it's yours." I took it off. Same way Glenn Matlock gave me his shirt. We switched shirts like footballers, you know. I was so proud. And he carried that shirt everywhere, from the hotel to the van to the plane to the hotel, you know. Carried it for weeks. Never wore it. And it seemed a bit odd. But then we get to Rome, and we're staying at the Byron Hotel, which was Lord Byron's house, had been his house. It's a beautiful place. Each one of us had a floor, pretty much, had beautiful suites, you know. Bob had the top suite. And anyway, when we go to the gig in Rome, we're at one of Mussolini's great works of art, there's this huge stadium. He walked into the our dressing room where the booze was, you know, and he's wearing a draped jacket and a white butterfly collar shirt and black pants and boots. And I'm thinking, oh, what happened? You know, I said, "Hey, Bob, you're looking very Byronic tonight." And he went, and never mentioned it again. And then, we played Barcelona and Madrid, and then we get to Nice. And he walks into our dressing room. We have three more gigs, you know. It's a week later, and he walks into our dressing room, and he walks up to me and he said, "Hey, Ian, why did you call me moronic?" I said, this is from handing in the cards. I said, "Hello, Bob. I said you look very Byronic, like Lord Byron." He said, "Oh." To think that he thought that I would say that and still want the job, you know. Anyway, has absolutely nothing to do with what he said.
But I got a free pass, I think.
Yeah, I think you're okay. I've forgotten about your being fired now. This is called Debris. Yeah. Ronnie Lane is in the house tonight. I don't like Andre and the fact that he's there. God bless you. Thank you. you're my good friend. And I know how far it is, but you left me on the Denver, and we both know you got no money, and I wonder what you would have done without me hanging around. Spiritual Boy, I was actually making Never Say Never, but I realized this was in 2006 in February, and I suddenly thought, well, if I've made an album of his songs, it should come out on what would have been his 60th birthday in 2006, on April the 1st. So I shelved Never Say Never, what there was of it, like half made, and started cutting his songs. And one song I never liked, quite honestly, never liked playing it live, was Ichiku Park, because it's horrible to have to sing, "It's all too beautiful," where I didn't feel it was all too beautiful. Can I say you a little? I woke up that morning, thank you, sir, I woke up one morning, and I get migraines, which kind of incapacitate. I don't know if any of you have migraines, I'm sorry if you do. I get an aura, a visual thing, which is pretty vicious, and I have to go to bed. I take medication while I go to bed. I smoke some dope, and that helps. It really does. But that particular day, and by the way, my paintings are all about migraines. That's exactly what my paintings are about. And that's what the postcards are all. But I went back to bed and slept for about 45 minutes, woke up, and I was thinking of Ichiku Park and the words, and I wasn't sure of the words, so I dug up the old record, typed out the words, and realized this is a different song than most of you might understand. It's not just about taking drugs and getting high. Of course, that's part of it. Excuse me, I'm trying to talk. Kids, you want an encore, you got it. Anyway, the song, he's talking about Oxford University, which is, he says, over Bridge of Sighs, which is Oxford, to rest my eyes in shades of green, that's poetry. Under Dreaming Spires, which is Cambridge University, to Ichiku Park, that's where I've been. He's saying, I only know a Neville patch in the East End of London. It ain't like, I ain't got no privilege, I ain't got no education. It's all about understanding beauty and understand and knowing that it is beautiful. Things are beautiful. Anyway, I waffle on. I'm going to try it to be part of it, if you don't mind. This is the encore. This is my version, and it's how I imagine he would have played it to Steve, because it was mainly one of his songs. In fact, when he asked me to tour with him in Japan in 1990, I said, I'd love to, Ronnie. I said, one condition, I won't do it to be part. He went, okay. And afterwards, we fell out over it, and I feel very bad about it, but we made up, but you know, it was his song, and I didn't actually realize, I thought it was Steve's, and it wasn't a question of being Steve's or always, I just didn't like singing those lines. But if it's done a little slower, it is beautiful, I think. And so, this is my version. find blow my mind. See the ducks with a bun. They all come out to groove about. Be nice and have fun in the sun. I'll tell you what I'll do. I like to go there now with you. We can miss out school. Why go?
Over here.